What's up? Another episode of Ripple Effect Podcast. I'm your host, Ricardo Verandes, also known as Ricky Verandes. And what a crazy time we are in today. This is wild. I've never experienced anything like this, and I'm sure many of you listening feel the same way. Obviously, the hot topic, the coronavirus, it's caused some issues with the show because I don't know if any guest is going to want to come on to talk about anything else. And how do we ignore this hysteria while it's going on and talk about other stuff? Because other stuff just seems like it should wait, or it's not relevant, or whatnot. So, you know, today I was supposed to have Gerard Williams on, an old friend who's been on the show years ago for his research into Adolf Hitler and his escape to Argentina. And when I had him on actually 5 years ago, I think it was like 5 years ago, the idea of Hitler getting away and surviving seemed crazy. I remember bringing it up to people. I'm like, hey, have you guys looked into his research? Have you looked into many other authors that have written about Hitler making it to Argentina? And people were just like, no, that's crazy. That's crazy. And it's insane. This story is kind of relevant to what's going on today. If you tell the same story over and over again and it starts spreading, nobody looks into it. And it just is accepted as true. And the Hitler story is very similar to that, because with Hitler, no one actually found a body. No one actually had DNA or anything like that to prove that he was there, that he killed himself, or that the Russians actually found him, the Soviets, actually found him at the time. And the FBI even went looking for him in Argentina. And there's businesses in Argentina that funded Hitler. There was huge German communities where it's like going to Miami in Florida. Like, you feel like you're in a different country because everybody's speaking a foreign language. And there's communities in Argentina where they speak mostly German. So it didn't seem that far-fetched. And obviously you guys know of Operation Paperclip, where we took some of the greatest scientists and minds of Nazi Germany, basically just ignored all their war crimes and all the bad things they've done to take them in to help us out. And one person was the person who started our NASA program, Van Buren. So it's very interesting. But my point is, like, similar to this coronavirus hysteria, people are just talking about, oh, we have to stop it spreading, we have to do this, we have to do that. And nobody is really stopping to look at the statistics, look at the stats. I mean, yeah, it's spreading, but 25 people a day die of hunger, and that's been going on forever. And that's actually preventable in regards to, we don't have to do testing to know if you're dying of hunger. We don't have to find out who has it and who's spreading it. It's like, we know where the issue is. We can actually resolve it. And I don't see the global community coming together for that. A bad flu season, 18,000 people die, you know, roughly just in America. And are we gonna, you know, how come that didn't justify stopping everything? So, yeah, I mean, and next year, if similar deaths happen because the flu, are we gonna say, hey, it worked for the coronavirus, let's just throw away everybody's rights and freedoms and do the same thing to fight the flu? Because the flu has proven to kill more people than the coronavirus. So next flu season, if this happens again, you know, if there's a lot of deaths and the news just basically spreads fear like wildfire, then how do we not justify doing the same thing? Like, if this is justified, then why isn't that justified? So I want to be kind of a voice reason, because there are lots of opinions and a lot of perspectives. And I know that people are sensitive to this topic, like many topics. And I understand that, because I have kids. I have a family. We're impacted from it. My wife works at a restaurant. That restaurant can only do takeout. She's a server and bartender, so there's no need for her. She's laid off, you know, so that's one income completely gone. And we don't know how we're going to make up for that. My kids, I mean, I feel bad for them. They're bored as all hell. I thought this would be a good opportunity to get people together and spend some time with family and friends, but they've even scared people into not wanting to get together with their friends and family because they don't want to spread anything. So, I mean, we basically are punished in a way that prisoners are punished in jail and prison, that you're isolated, you're alone. And the worst part is because there are no sports, a lot of gyms are closing. For myself, like, that keeps me sane, like having that workout, being able to relieve some of that stress, just getting away from the news, because there's nothing else on TV. You know, if you watch pro wrestling, that's done. Soccer, done. Basketball, hockey, everything is shut down. So the only thing you have to watch is more of this media madness spreading fear, fear, fear. And they're capitalizing from it. They're capitalizing from it because, you know, they love stories like this because it keeps you watching. And people have to understand, people profit from that. Every time you watch, the higher the ratings, the more they can sell those commercials to those companies. They're like, look at our ratings, you know, so our commercial time is valued at this. And look whose commercials we're seeing, pharmaceutical companies, you know, who's also profiting from this because they're getting tons of money from taxpayers' money to develop something or treat something and whatnot. And chances are, it's literally just going to go through the population and kill, just like the flu or any other virus, respiratory flu or virus. It's going to kill people who would die from the common cold, most likely, or from other things that kill people every year. You know, it's if you're old, if you have a weak immune system, if you're unhealthy. I mean, unfortunately, America's full of people who don't exercise, don't diet, watch a lot of TV, stay in front of the computer, play video games, don't get enough vitamin D, don't get enough exercise, you know, don't get enough sunlight, don't eat correctly, you know, don't eat foods that are nutritionally dense. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people who have weak immune systems, people who are dealing with other issues. I mean, obviously the cancer rate's high. I mean, there's a lot of other issues that could affect the way you can deal with this virus. But like I said, the flu kills 18,000 people. You know, our bad flu season kills 18,000 people every year. I mean, Dr. Drew has been a voice of reason, and I don't agree with him on a lot of stuff. And I know people on social media were like, oh, I can't believe you're going to Dr. Drew for going to his videos and then spreading his videos and saying that you agree with his opinion because, you know, I know you disagree with him on this and that. I'm like, yeah, but that's the thing. This show is all about not just taking one thing that we disagree on and then using that to say everything else you say is invalid. Like, if he and I disagree on a few other things, it doesn't mean that he can't say something that I think makes sense. He can't say something that I agree with. You know, not if I can disagree with somebody on 1,000 different topics, but it doesn't mean there's not a potential of having a topic that we actually agree on and we see eye to eye on. So, you know, him, Ron Paul did a great video on today called The Coronavirus Hoax. And maybe the title is a little over the top. You know, I wouldn't say it's a hoax because obviously the virus exists and there's a lot of I guess question marks in regards to why it's spreading so quickly in certain countries and why in China it got so bad and things like that. But and there's a great podcast on the coronavirus called Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. Their podcast, they did a great episode on coronavirus. They go into how they're, you know, the whistleblower that kind of started talking about how dangerous this is and all the mystery that surrounds that and all the weird numbers and statistics that are coming out of China. So there is some type of conspiracy or cover-up going on in China. There's something very unique, and that podcast really covers it much better than I can today. So definitely check out Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. Check out the coronavirus podcast. Actually, if you've been a longtime listener, Ben Bolin, who's one of the hosts of that show, he's actually been on years ago. So, you know, if you want to go in the archives and check that out, if you're a fan of that podcast already. I also was on Demand of Truth recently and talked about the coronavirus and also talked about Epstein and a couple other things. Will, who's the host of Demand of Truth, has been a guest on my show. So if you check out our YouTube channel, you can find his appearance on my show. You can also find the playlist that has Ricky's interviews. You can find the interview I did on Demand of Truth. And yeah, so Ron Paul is another voice of reason. Yeah, I went on a long rant. I can't call this Ricky's rants without going on long rants, right? And so Ron Paul has a great video. He talks about the, you know, how minimal the danger is. And that's the thing, we're confusing danger and fear. Like, the danger of this is very minimal. I've watched every press conference, okay? Every time the president goes up there with his team, and I'm dissecting every single word just to figure out, okay, should I be concerned? Because, again, I have a family. I have loved ones. I have two little kids. Like, I don't want to not take this seriously and it be much worse than I tend to believe. You know, I want to make sure I really analyze everything. And every single time, you know, they open up by... they open up many of these press conferences by saying the majority of people will be okay. The majority of people will be okay. And we know the majority of people in the U.S. aren't even healthy. So that means there's a lot of people who aren't really healthy or live healthy lifestyles. They're also going to be okay. So I just don't see how the reaction to this justifies, or the, I guess, the danger in this virus justifies the reaction. And it seems over the top. I mean, we are, you know, I wrote this on social media, on my Twitter account and my Facebook account. It's martial law disguised as the coronavirus. I don't know where the coronavirus came from. I mean, obviously the virus has been around forever. That's why it's on the Lysol can. That's not a conspiracy theory. If you can find the Lysol can, you can actually see the coronavirus is one of the viruses it kills. It's been around forever. Obviously, this one is different, but just like the flu virus changes from year to year, you know, this virus also changed. But, you know, what the fuck was I talking about? I've lost my train of thought. But my point is, like, yeah, it's spreading. I get that. I understand that. There is a concern with it spreading and the speed of it spreading, but to basically create martial law where people are told not to leave the house, everything's shut down. The only thing we have is more news, which is force feeding you more bullshit stories. I mean, I've been saying online and trying to be a voice of reason for many people that I'm like, listen, I don't know what's going on in Italy. I don't live in Italy. I don't know what's going on in China. I don't live in China. I mean, I'm trying to get the news from those places. I'm trying to figure out what's really going on, but it's hard. But I do know what's going on in America. And in America, you know, the majority of people are going to be okay. It's killed old people, okay? And for example, you know, I just saw this this article that talked about how 63% of U.S. deaths were in Washington State, and 29 of those total deaths occurred in a Washington State nursing home. Why aren't we being told the ages of these people? Why aren't we being told their nationality, where they're coming from? I mean, the thing about China, about Italy and Northern Italy, and I've just learned this recently, is that there's a lot of Chinese people there who are flying there. So yeah, this could have been spreading. It could have been spreading in the U.S. There's direct flights from Wuhan to America, okay? Direct flights to, I believe, Ohio, somewhere in Ohio. So they say this virus spreads before you have the symptoms. So for months, people could have been coming from Wuhan before we shut down everything and spreading it. And guess what? People were treating it like the flu, right? People were just like, oh, I have a cold, I have a sickness, let me just stay home, let me just take some vitamin C, let me, you know, get some sun, maybe some fresh air, let me get some rest, and people are recovering. But because of the media scaring the shit out of people, what is happening? People are rushing to the hospital getting tested. Everybody's in fear of you know, testing positive for this virus. But yet everybody who's tested positive that I see, all these celebrities and these athletes who, for the most part, you assume they're healthy, none of them are dying. None of them are dropping dead. Everybody's afraid of testing positive, but it's not doing anything. It's like testing positive for HPV. Well, I mean, I forget what the statistic, but they say, like, just about everybody has HPV. Nobody cares because it doesn't kill it. You know, it for the most part, doesn't kill many people. So, you know, it's I know in women it's different than in males. You know, it can turn cancer or whatnot. But You know, but my point is that nobody's freaking out about HPV. So it's just like, to me, it just, it's hysteria for something that we don't have enough evidence to justify this hysteria, to shut down everything. I mean, my poor kids are bored, I'm sure, like many other kids. There's people who are losing their jobs. There's businesses that are going to... The long-term effects of this on the population, on people, on businesses, on the economy, on society, are going to be much more negative than the long-term effects of this virus. This virus is gonna, what I think is going to come and go. And again, I'm not married to any idea. In 2 weeks, if the death rate isn't the majority old people or sick people, then I'll change my mind. But according to the evidence and the stuff that I'm seeing, the statistics that I'm seeing in the U.S., like, it's just none of this is justified. This virus was most likely already here, spreading. People were treating it like it was just a cold, a flu, resting, and they were fine. So this idea of like, well, the pace that it's spreading, well, it seems like it's spreading a lot because people are getting tested now. Everybody's trying to get tested. So how many people probably had it already and are fine? You know, so of course it's going to be hard to understand if it's spreading or not. I mean, all this information, it's going to be very hard to dissect and figure out. So it just, you know, and this, I guess, this is another thing. I mean, you can make the argument for UBI, Universal Basic Income. I mean, right now, you figure there's a lot of people who are out of work. There's a lot of people who are uncertain when they're going to work again, don't have any income, might not know how to feed their families or whatnot. I mean, this could cause, and I'm not saying it will, but it could cause crime rates from going up. It could cause people protests, could cause, I mean, a lot of different things. I mean, it's negatively affecting a lot of people. And to me, it's like, to protect who? Like, if we're going to do this every time that, you know, a virus kills, you know, this percentage of people, then unfortunately, this is going to happen a bunch of times in the future. You know, it's going to happen over and over again. We can't just be okay with losing all our rights, our freedoms, all these things, like just completely putting our whole lives on hold because of the stuff. And the worst part is too, is that a lot of the stuff that the president's saying and his team is saying, it's recommendations. It's saying, you know, we recommend you not being around, 250 people. That's what it was. And like in 24 hours, it went from like 250 people, groups of 250 to 50 people, to 25, to now 10. They're recommending. They're not saying that you can't, and hopefully it doesn't lead to that. But that was another thing I was going to talk about, was how CNN was spreading, and what's his name? I forget his name. But on YouTube, there's a video called CNN Slammed for Fake News About Coronavirus Sparking Panic. And I believe it was about kind of like a martial law thing that they were saying that the White House was potentially going to do a national curfew or something like that. But they basically had no evidence to prove that. And this video is actually hard to find because you can put the exact title to this video and you still might not find it. So good luck finding it. But you can find it on my Twitter account. You can find it on my Facebook account and stuff like that. I've been trying to share, you know, informative stuff to try to keep everybody sane and thinking logically. One thing I love about my gym is that you go to the gym. I went to the gym yesterday and I was just happy to see all these people who have not been scared to stay at home. And all these people are just like, fuck this thing. Like, we should all be dead if we're really concerned about, you know, if healthy people or people who don't have compromised immune systems are at risk, because we're constantly around germs and touching other people and all this stuff at the gym. So and another thing, actually, I was talking to Robbie Martin from Media Roots today, and I'm hoping to do a podcast, a roundtable discussion on the coronavirus, try to get a bunch of people together, get everybody's perspectives, try to figure out what's going on in different parts of the world, and everybody's take on it. And Robbie Martin's one of the people that I want to have back on and have him participate. You know, he actually made a really good point I didn't even think about. And being Portuguese, I should have thought about this. We kiss when we say hello. You know, we kiss you on your cheeks. in Italy, one of the places where it's outbreaking, that's how they also say hello. So, I mean, that could have contributed to the how quickly it spread. You know, that could be something to think about. But here's another example of how the news is spreading fear. So I've been constantly preaching that if you're healthy, if you don't have compromised immune systems, if you're not super old, then chances are you're going to be okay. And people are now talked about this. Well, have you heard about this 21-year-old Spanish soccer coach that died of coronavirus? And this aggravated the shit out of me because there's exceptions to every rule. Like it's quite possible that there could be somebody young or healthy who I wouldn't even say healthy, because if you're healthy, I'm not sure you would have an issue with fighting this virus, but there could be somebody young and healthier that could have an issue for something specific to that person cause an issue with fighting this virus. But there's a story of this 21-year-old Spanish soccer coach that I'm sure people are going to use to rebuttal all the cases or all the debates about it mostly being old people and people with compromised immune systems. What this headline isn't telling you, and NewYorkDailyNews.com had this headline, coronavirus kills 21-year-old Spanish soccer player. You read into the article, and what the headline doesn't tell you is that he had aggressive forms of leukemia. Now, you get that headline. You don't think that that's important information to put in that headline. Like, you're just putting this headline out there. They know, okay, people know what clickbait is. They know that people read the headlines, they don't read the articles. They share the headline, they don't share the article. In regards to what you're really sharing is just the headline you read. You're not really sharing the article because you didn't read the article. You know, so you're just trying to share this story and people are just reading the headline and that's the information that they're getting. And that's the thing, like when you're not informed and you don't get all the whole story, you know, it's dangerous because you can be fooled by anything. And this story is fooling a lot of people into believing that there is this one case. But guess what? There's cases of athletes and people who seem to be healthy having strokes and heart attacks and all different, you know, unique stories. I mean, the Celtics, if you're a Boston Celtics fan, you know about what was it, Lynn Bias, who did like a line of coke once in his life, was a super healthy freak athlete and ended up dying, you know, and it just like had a heart attack or whatever it was. I mean, it's freak accidents and exceptions to the rules happen all the time. So if by any chance there is a example of somebody who's younger and seems healthy, you know, pass away from this, doesn't mean that my opinion changes because I don't know all the specifics. I don't know if he had maybe some health issues he wasn't aware of. You know, what, you know, maybe it was a specific DNA genetic thing that why he was more likely to struggle to fight the virus than somebody else. I mean, there's so many other underlining details that you need to kind of get the whole story. So, yeah. I mean, another example, you know, people are talking about last week, people were talking to me about like, oh, have you heard the new Joe Rogan podcast with the scientists? You know, they're taking it seriously or whatever, this and that. Joe Rogan did a full podcast with that scientist. I will admit, I didn't listen to the whole thing. I listened to most of it, okay? He did this whole podcast with the scientist. Then on a podcast he does soon after, a couple days after, a week after, whenever it was, a Fight Companion podcast he did, you know, even he said the same thing. Like, he wasn't scared because of that podcast. So people are taking away from that podcast that we should all be worried or whatnot. And even Joe Rogan, who was there having the conversation, taking in all the information, you know, on a later podcast, on this Fight Companion podcast, you know, he's talking about it with Eddie Bravo and Brian Cowan and some of the other guys that are on. And he doesn't seem that scared. He, you know, they're all basically agreeing that, like, yeah, it's mostly old people. It's mostly, you know, it's mostly people who are unhealthy. So it's just, yeah, the whole thing. And the worst part is, like, I was supposed to have t-shirts done. I know I've been telling you guys about Ripple Effect Podcast t-shirts, and I know this is the least of everybody's concerns, but, you know, I am a little upset that, you know, I had Gerard Williams, you know, kind of feel like, how do we talk about anything else that's not about the coronavirus at the moment? And I tend to kind of agree with him. It's kind of hard to to not focus on just that because of all the hysteria and that just is everywhere and it's affecting everybody's lives. But, you know, the guy who makes my t-shirts, the company laid off a bunch of people. You know, now he probably can't make my t-shirts. I'm going to have to find somebody else to do it, or at least, you know, stay in touch and hopefully maybe at a later time he'll be able to do it. So, like, all these things are being affected and affecting this podcast and affecting my life personally because, like I said, my kids are bored. You know, I'm trying to explain to my kids why they have to take their vitamins a little bit more often and why, you know, we're not doing as much we normally do. If you guys follow me on Instagram, RVTheory6, Twitter, or Facebook, you know I'm constantly doing stuff with my kids, and I like them to be around other people and communicate and play and have fun. And none of the things they love watching are on TV. You know, my son and I love watching soccer and basketball together. It's a bonding thing. And, you know, we don't have any of those things. So it's really affecting people negatively. And, of course, those are the mild issues. I mean, there's bigger issues with people not having money and just losing their jobs and possibly even their businesses and all that stuff. So I don't know if there's anything else I want to talk about on the show. I don't think so. I think that was about everything. I'll keep everybody updated on in regards to that roundtable discussion. If you guys are a Patreon supporter, I do let you guys know in advance when I have podcasts and when I you know, who I'm booking and when I'm booking them. It's kind of a little perk of being a supporter of the show. I let you guys, you know, kind of just know behind the scenes stuff, like, okay, I'm booking this guest or this guest is going to be on in this day or that day or whatnot, or I'm trying to put together this roundtable discussion or the swap cast. So it's a little perk. I don't want to obviously put any podcasts behind paywalls because of the purpose of spreading these conversations. I think these conversations are important to spread. And what else do I want to tell you guys? Also, make sure to rate the show, review the show. Any by the way, everybody who's been supporting the show via Patreon, especially now because obviously a lot of people are losing their jobs or whatnot, I can't thank you guys enough. I mean, it blows my mind that people are willing to do that, and especially when I know money's tight for everybody, and I know that because money's tight for me and even tighter now. So I really appreciate anybody who's willing to financially support the show in any way possible. No little amount is too little. So, you know, if you can, great. If you can't, then like I said, share the show, support the show by reviewing it, rating it, sharing it, telling your friends, sending it to whoever it may be. And that always helps. So, you know, you never know who's clicking on it and who's going to be a new listener. And also, thanks to all the listeners that are hitting me up. I hope I'm not pissing people off on social media with just kind of, I'm just trying to be logical and looking at this through the eyes of reason and trying to, you know, just, I guess, let people not be so afraid yet, because it really doesn't seem like there's any reason to be afraid quite yet. I mean, I'm more afraid of the way we're handling this and the effects of that. And I'm also afraid that this is some type of experiment, some type of a practice run for martial law, that the government is going to take something from this. They're going to understand how to create hysteria, how to get people so afraid that they are willing to give up everything for the greater good of protecting ourselves, so the government can protect us, you know, all this stuff. So that's what I'm really afraid of, is that, because they're not gonna let this go by and not take something from it. They're not gonna learn how to handle a situation from like this. They are gonna learn how to possibly do this again and how to handle a situation like this. And they're also gonna understand that the hysteria of the media is so powerful that it can cause people to just accept this, because I am baffled that there's not more angry people out there, that there's not more people like me who are upset that they went to these extremes to protect us from something that has killed so little people. You're shutting down the whole country, you know, and in some senses, it seems like the whole world has shut down for something that many other things are more lethal. I mean, I don't know how many people die from slipping in a bathtub every year, but I'm sure there's many. I mean, do we ban bathtubs? I mean, this is just so crazy. So make sure to rate the show, review the show. Let me know if you also like these solo podcasts. I know I get some people complain about my long rant, so maybe doing a whole podcast that is just a long rant might not be that different than some of my other episodes, and maybe you guys won't want to listen to it or whatnot. But I'm also thinking about maybe doing these in the future, and well, if I get positive feedback on this, maybe doing this in the future, and maybe doing a live show where I'll let people comment on what I'm talking about, and maybe we can have a discussion on or I can answer some questions or whatnot. So that's all, that's all stuff I'm kind of brainstorming. I kind of felt like I had to say something and do something because all this stuff has just been building up, and I feel like I needed to kind of get it off my chest, and I think I did. And as things develop and every day, I mean, this is going to change every day. So we'll keep updated with it and keep doing our best with, letting everybody know what the hell is going on. And as information changes, so will my opinion. Like I said, I'm not sold on any perspective, but at the moment, based on what I know and what's going on in America, this is it. I mean, James Corbett did. I can't comment on what's. People talk about China. James Corbett did a great video about how China was testing people. I mean, the numbers were going up drastically from one day to another. You couldn't possibly test people that quickly. They stopped doing blood tests because the lack of labs and just how quickly or how long it took to do it, to do the blood work. So they were doing CT scans and observing your lungs, and that's how they're figuring out if you had it or whatnot. So like everybody's talking about what's going on in other countries. It's hard for me to know because what's going on there, because I don't have all the information and I don't know how they're testing. I don't know, if I can trust certain news organizations or not. So the whole thing is just, it's hard to figure out, but as of right now, as of the 17th of March, Tuesday, the 17th of March, this is where I stand. So, hopefully it gives everybody a little peace of mind. Check out that video with James Corbett. Check out my interview I did with the man to truth, with Will, which you'll find on my YouTube channel. And honestly, that's probably, I probably said a lot of the same things I said on this show, but if we talked about Epstein and some other things, also check out that podcast. I talked about stuff they don't want you to know, the coronavirus one that really gets into kind of the mystery of what was going on in China initially. And check out Ron Paul's video. Like I said, that was a kind of a good video. And check out anything Dr. Drew has been saying, because he seems logical. He's making sense. Like I said, I don't agree with him on everything, but you can't deny the things he's saying is making sense. And he's equally as angry as I am at the media, because this is what caused this domino effect, is just scaremongering from the media and just creating this overreaction that's what I believe it is, overreaction. So rate the show, blah, 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 all those things. Also, the music that you hear in the podcast is my music, Theory 6. It's my solo music project. If you want to support the show, In that way, in purchasing that music, you can get it anywhere. You can get digital downloads. The links are in the show description, so you can get them, get the links there. And also follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff. As if I find new videos or something that's interesting, I share it on there. And you'll also get some pictures of just me and my family and what I'm eating and other random stuff, maybe some whiskey I like or some wine I like. So we kind of need some of those other things to clear our mind from time to time. So that's, I think that's it, guys. Stay safe. Hopefully this brought you a little bit of relief, and talk to you soon. Peace.